You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, on a Thursday afternoon, that not only means we're getting much closer to Sunday night massive playoff game at Gillette Stadium, also means we're going to talk to our buddy Tom E. Curran from NBC Sports Boston. Tom Curran is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, by Shaw's and Star Market, proud to be local since 1860, and Tom E. Curran is powered by Verizon. Tom Curran, how we doing?
I am tremendous, top of the world, really excited. Everything's great.
Happy New Year on the 8th of January. I think that's still okay. Happy holidays,
last
all
day.
That.
The last day.
Oh, okay.
The last day.
I snuck it in.
Oh, this is it? Today's the last day?
Yes.
Yep. A week out.
Buzzer beater right there. Nice job by me. Okay, Tom, so as I always do on Tuesdays when I'm driving in, I believe at 12, I listen to Tom Curran on the Jones and Keefe show. And I was very interested that you said, because everybody's been debating, I know you've heard lots of it, Drake May, Matthew Stafford, MVP. It's actually seemingly gotten a little personal. Guys like Andrew Whitworth are getting a little salty on social media.
Well, all of Stafford's friends are
down his back. You know? It has. Yeah. But Tom, I heard you say, not only do you think Drake May deserves it, but you think Drake May will win the MVP. You said that Tuesday. So I want to ask you, do you still feel that way? Votes have been cast. All the ballots are in. Do you still feel that way? And what leads you to feel that way?
I do. Having been a voter for a long time, that I think that I always spent a lot of time in trying to determine the right decision. And there are times, no doubt, where all of us, I think, reverse engineer outcomes that we can make a case for. Like last year, I felt like Josh Allen was a more valuable player, and I voted for him for MVP, and I voted for Lamar Jackson as Offensive Player of the Year because of his statistics, but I used value as the meaning as it's supposed to be laid out. Touchdown passes don't have inherent value. Improvement of your team has inherent value, and I do think that enough of the voters are going to realize that value is what matters, and people like Bill Barnwell or Mike Sando or individuals who do a lot of analytics and show, you know, expected points over average or completion percentage over average, those kinds of things that if you're doing that job of voting, which is kind of time consuming, you should be doing all of that, not just checking the names you know or the guys you like or the guy who you made money from when you covered a spread.
Tom, relax. Let me interrupt real quick,
relax,
though.
Relax.
Is there a specific criteria? Like, is there a sheet of rules or like this is what you're supposed to consider?
No. The only rule we were ever given was last year. They said no more giving out comeback player of the year to guys who are coming back from sucking. But tough crap, we can do that.
Right. Someone's fired up for Sunday.
Hey, let's just get you lay off the caffeine, you three. It's not a day. It's not that big a deal. Anyway, sorry.
So, Tom, we were having a little discussion here on the old program earlier about the people that will be most important for New England, not named Drake May on Sunday. If you were to, I don't know, pick one or two, be they people that prowl the sidelines, man the defensive backfield, or try to run or catch touchdowns, who would those people be for you?
First off, Robert Spillane and Milton Williams would be really close to the top. Because if you can bottle up O'Marrion Hampton and Vidal, then you're going to be on your way to putting Justin Herbert into long-distance situations, or at least put difficult situations. If you can bring them down and make them punt, then that's great. They actually have a horrendous punter, too. So I would say those two are really important. I think Marcus Jones and Ladd McConkey is a great matchup to pay attention to. Zach Kerr and Mike Vrabel against Greg Roman and figuring out when they want to add pressure in to their blitzes, I think is very important. And then I look at what's the most difficult defense the Patriots have faced all year. I think that was probably Cleveland. Mm-hmm. May took 6 sacks, but he did a great job taking care of the ball, and I still think he went 18 for 24 for like 252, another efficient game, 3 touchdowns. They did pull away late, and some of it was Dylan Gabriel aided, but they played a really smart game, and I think that, you know, McDaniels against that defense, any zone defense, is a complete and utter mismatch.
Hey, Tom, I'm curious what you think about Jim Harbaugh, just his reentry back into the NFL. What, you know, what your thoughts on him as a coach in the NFL? And I don't know if you heard any sound from his presser the other day when he was asked questions about what he thought about the Patriots. It was just an odd. We'll give you a little sampling. He was asked a lot of questions. This was his response.
I don't know if I have the answer to
that. I don't know if I have the answer to that. What do you think of Jim as the coach right now, and how much stock do you put in him being on their sideline, being an advantage for him?
He is just an odd guy, and I don't think that he is, and Felger had wondered this the other night on BST, whether or not he's losing it. I'm like, no, he's just weird. He just if he wants to put off a question, that's the way in which he does it. If you want to see one of the all-time great videos, you guys might already know this, find the Jameis Winston, Jim Harbaugh dummy interview to prepare Jameis Winston for the draft. Have you ever seen it or heard of it? Please Google it, because at one point he looks at him and he goes, so what's all this about this stuff that you said? You're sex fiend, you're pervert. He just like looks at him and he puts his face on, and it was a dummy interview for the combine. But he's just he's an odd guy. You know, he really is.
Is he a good coach?
You know, I think he operates on a different plane.
Is he a good coach?
He's a good coach. He's an excellent coach. He gets people to buy in.
Yeah.
They sing for he's a jolly good fellow after the game in the locker room, and everybody sings it. Everybody sings it. So
there's buy-in if they're all singing, then that's buy-in.
I hate it, but I love that. That's so funny.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, here on WEEI Afternoons. So, Tom, we talk about maybe Drake May wins the MVP, but one thing he hasn't done yet is play in a postseason game. Got an interesting matchup of quarterbacks here. You got a guy that May's been compared to that's actually struggled a little bit early in his playoff career. How ready do you think Drake May is for Sunday night? Do you have any concerns that the spot might be too much for him or might hinder his performance?
I think he'll be in a position, Andy, at some point during the game where he does something that he says, nah, that was a bad idea. Will that be because of he tried to do too much? Will he not do something because he's trying to be too cautious? I think he's just wired really well. He doesn't get all in his feels about things. He doesn't seem to play with fear. He plays with it seems to me, an acknowledgement of that was a mistake, but I'm pretty good. I won't do it again because I understand it was a mistake, and I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, I hope I don't do that again. So I think that I'm confident he's going to make mistakes. I'm also confident that he's not going to look like Mac Jones on the sideline after he does, like you need to go over and give him a rattle or a hug. He's fine. So I think that's a huge attribute to any quarterback. And it's one of the things that I thought was one of his greatest attributes coming out was his mental and physical toughness.
Tom, did you get a chance to take a gander at that Players Tribune piece that Kayshawn Boutte and possibly somebody else authored? What'd you think about that? And just what a remarkable turnaround from guy who didn't get his feet in bounds in his first game against the Eagles under Belichick a few years ago to now deep threat turnaround and possibly a long-term fixture for Drake May at wide receiver.
Yeah, I breezed through it. It was very interesting. I've liked him the whole time he's been here. I've liked him since he was a rookie. I've enjoyed talking to him. I thought that's a tremendous case study in why things needed to change in this organization. When a guy makes a tiny mistake at the end of a game and you put him in exile, same way that happened with DeMario Douglas. you know, if you're not tapping into those talents, you're just going to say, well, okay, well, he's just a draft pick. Get him out of here. We don't need him. And you can only do that for so long without the organization paying huge, huge, huge prices. So I've always liked him. I think that he is unbelievably skilled. I've talked before to you guys about his body control, about his hands. We've all now seen his physical strength at the catch point to be a fairly normal-sized guy and do that. I do wonder, and he spoke about it in the Players Tribune article, and I've had a pretty good relationship with him. He wants to be a star. I think he has the ability to be a star or a guy who can balls or 80 balls for even more yards. Will he be that here? Will he be psyched? Just think, he caught 14 balls for over 300 yards in a competitive game at Ole Miss when he was a freshman. Yeah. Excuse me, at LSU, mm-hmm. against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
He's unbelievably talented. So I don't know how long. I think a lot of players are going to have that question. So bottom line is, I breeze through the story. I think it's a great message. I love Kayshawn Booty. I think he's extremely talented. I still think he's underutilized. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, forever and ever here, because if I was him, I'd want to be a featured guy someplace.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, he was not afraid to kind of call out some of their calls and play game plans from last year, I remember. I was like, damn, the confidence. He's got a lot of confidence in that guy for sure. But good, great story. But let me ask you this. Just finish this sentence simply. You know, if the Patriots lose this game, why?
Tom?
Something went terribly wrong.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
We have to have a moment to think.
Yeah. Give him a chance, guys.
I could have gone, that would have filled the space. Something went terribly wrong. They didn't get overwhelmed by talent. They didn't get beaten by a superior team. They did things to demolish their own ability to win the game. The Chargers might be the worst team in the playoff field when it comes down to really looking at their results and the way in which they arrived at them when you look at all the analytics. Them and the Panthers are down there. The Steelers are even a little bit better in some of the ones that I like to look at. So something went terribly wrong, and it was probably.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Justin Herbert's not going to Justin Herbert you the way Josh Allen can Josh Allen you. He's too loose with the ball. Drake May was horrendous if they lose this game. That's the only way they lose. Yeah.
Tom, Ramondre.
Agree?
I agree.
Yes. Yeah, that's and it. I think Drake May
quarterback's
agrees.
Have a
that's why he said
worst
yesterday.
Game of the year.
I got it's important for me to play well for us to win, and I wouldn't have it any other way, or whatever he said yesterday. Ramondre Stevenson, though, has been helping out quite nicely over the last month or so. You could argue he's their best offensive player the last couple weeks here. Where are you on Ramondre Stevenson? Is all buried and forgotten in terms of the slippery fingers and the ball going on the ground, or is that forever just a part of your mindset when you see him carry the ball?
Always, always, always. Seven is not a coincidence. Seven fumbles is not a coincidence. That's a trend. And I would probably, if I was, who's the running backs coach? Not Todd Downing. That's wide receivers.
Atlas, whoever the guy Tony is. Something, Atlas? Tony,
thank
Tony
you. Atlas. I would be screaming at him this week. They're going to come after the football. Just because you've been unbelievable the last few weeks, do not start trying to break tackles by doing that little flipper move that you do with the ball in your hand. Because he stops, and Teddy, we were talking about this, remember? He stops, and then he leverages off the tackler and backs up. And when he does that, he sometimes slaps the ball out. I think he's terrific. I give Mike Vrabel all the credit in the world for seeing his way clear to keeping him on the field when I thought it was detrimental and on them if he screwed up. And he stuck by him, but he still makes me nervous. Still makes me a little nervous, which I'm sure I'm not alone.
Tommy, so we got legitimately 25% of the NFL now looking for a new head coach. Curious if you think there's anyone else on the Patriots staff that could very well, aside from Thomas Brown, get asked. And also, you want to see maybe your old pal Bill come back in the league one more time?
I think it would be entertaining if Bill came back. And when there's that many openings, I can imagine that some teams will look at it. I wonder, though, while it would be interesting, and that would be obviously blindly ignorant to all we watched throughout the fall and summer, if you said, hey, that's the guy I want in charge, would Bill allow himself to go through an interview process at 73 with the decorated, you know, the greatest record of any head coach in NFL history? Would he say, you know what, I'm not coming there and sitting down and then having Clint Kubiak come in after me and then having a deal with it's me or Clint Kubiak. I'm not doing that. You hire me and I'll do it. Otherwise, see ya. What do you think, Ted?
I mean, remember Tom Pelissero's tweet about that a few weeks ago?
Yep.
Saying if Bill gets a job in the NFL, it's going to be in the shadows and in the darkness. And we're not even going to know about it. Just all of a sudden he's going to be named head coach. So that kind of validates what you're saying there, Tom. But I'm curious your thoughts on just the time slot that the Patriots drew. I was a little bit surprised by the 8 o'clock Sunday night spot that they got. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, they really, you know, Prime got the big one. With the Bears and the Packers, because this Christmas Day slate was so bad for them, so it's a makeup. But just what do you make of the Patriots being put in that time slot this year?
I think obviously you can't have the Chargers play, and they did have the Rams play on the East Coast on Saturday. So I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth here, but I think that it would be unfair to make both West Coast teams play on Saturday, have to travel, and have a short week. So the Chargers catch a break. They don't have to travel during the week. You can't put them at 1 o'clock because that's 10 a.m. And, you know, people could say, well, screw them. And I don't disagree. They didn't earn the right to dictate their travel situation. But those two things enter into it. And then I think, Teddy, it's just simply quarterbacks. Who would you want if you were NBC? I think I would want the most promising young quarterback in the game. I wondered, and I've worked there long enough, since 2006, actually, in one way or another at NBC. I wonder who decides. If it's the executives, do they ask Chris Collinsworth and you know, Tirico or Fred Godelli, who's the producer, who they would prefer to have? Or is it the league? I think it's usually a confab between people, and they kind of try and ask for games. But if I was NBC, I would have said, yeah, give us Drake May and Justin Herbert.
If they put a camera in a meeting room when they were trying to talk about this, I would be fascinated by it. How they come to these decisions.
Behind the beat type
they
thing.
They talk just like we do.
Yep. Yeah.
I know they talk just like we do. No, F that. We had him. No. Yep. I do not want to have C.J. Stroud on national television at night.
That guy sucks. He's boring. He's no story. Like, absolutely.
Exactly.
Real quick before we let you go, you kind of alluded to it. Clearly, you're leaning toward the Patriots, and Drake May would have to play terribly for them to lose. But how do you see the game playing out? Give me a score.
I think the Patriots are going to do their characteristic, allow an opening drive touchdown. I think they'll start a little bit slowly on offense because I think that Jesse Minter is probably a good defensive coordinator. But as the game wears along, Patriots are going to start to exert some pressure on Herbert. They'll figure out exactly what's going on with Greg Roman's rushing attack, and they will come from behind after about a small margin, and they'll win going away 30-20.
Ooh, I like it. All right, Tom, hopefully you are correct. Either way, we'll talk to you next Thursday.
No slight to C.J. Stroud. That was the first name that popped into my head.
All right, see you, Tom.
See you, bud.
See you, guys.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Interesting take there. Yes, Fitzy?
Twitch chat points out, you don't even have to really do much more thinking then. you have TV Market 1 and TV Market 10.
Yeah, there's a lot of eyeballs.
For Sunday Night Football, it's a lot of eyeballs.
And they seem to know what they're doing with those ratings we talked about yesterday. So.
But the 8 o'clock Sunday night game isn't considered the top billing, though, for Sunday's games. It's the 4 o'clock
window.
I just thought it was the 8 o'clock, but it's they consider it the 4 o'clock to be the prime.
All right, Tom Curran had an interesting thought or breakdown of what he expects from Drake May on Sunday. We'll listen to that again and react to it up next here on WEEI Afternoons.